Welcome to House of Bread Podcast. This is Apostle Ted Hansen speaking at Abundant Life Church.
We go. How's that? All right. It's great to be with you, and I'm very privileged to be here this morning. I've come to release a prophetic word to you as a body today. So it's the first time I've done this apostolically, not your pastor anymore. You got a great pastor. He's doing a great job. Yeah. And he and Danny are leading you in a great way. He's not just a pastor who teaches you to eat the grass. He's a pastor who knows the shepherd of the shepherds, and he's got a heart to hear God. And there's a great team. You guys are great folks. You're awesome people, and it's just wonderful to be a part of a body that is authorized by God, authored by God. And so this is now approaching 21 years of this body being authorized and authored by the Holy Spirit. And there'll be come a day when there'll be 100 years when this body was authorized and authored by God. But right now we're 21 years, and I'm excited about that. I'm going to make an announcement before I speak here, because I'll forget all about announcements in a moment. As I released this morning. So I do welcome you to School of Eagles. Most of the classes are going to be at Anderson Creek Lodge. There are a couple that are designed to be small group type connections for you, hearing God's voice. If you've never taken hearing God's voice, you need to take hearing God's voice. There's a discount for you. There's a sign-up sheet in the back on that little table back right there behind Mr. Jim. You can sign up for that. We need to know how many are going to come so I know how much material to print. That's very important. So please honor me if you're planning on coming to hear God's voice. Don't wait till the last minute and make me have to work double hard printing up books, because I'm my own staff and my own publishing and my own everything. I'm the chief cook, bottle washer, kitchen, toilet scrubber, everything in School of Eagles. So please sign up in advance so I know you're coming, if you could do that. If you remember to do that today. So write that little thing on your finger, put the string on your finger, tell your wife, tell your husband, elbow each other at the end of the meeting. Okay. Also, Bible study methods is another class. If you haven't taken that one and you have a heart to study God's word, I don't give a flip if you know how to do Bible study methods, but I do care. Do you know how the Holy Spirit works with you? And I guarantee you, I will expose you to a process that connects you to the Holy Spirit. And it sounds kind of generic, Bible study methods, but you'll be transformed, revolutionized in your journey of how to dig things out. It's the glory of God to hide things, and it's the glory of kings to search it out. There's another verse that was never written, but it would say something like this. It's the glory of God to hide things, and peasants never discover a single thing. So now you understand why God hides things. He doesn't want you to be a peasant. He wants you to be a king. So I encourage you to sign up for that. There's a discount for you as a member of Abundant Life also. And one other class that Pastor Jonathan wanted me to really enforce is the second weekend of February and the second weekend of March. There's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday afternoon class on understanding authority. If you think you understand authority and you've never taken my understanding authority class, you probably don't understand authority. So I'm endorsing it that strong to tell you that authority is the ability to release. It's the ability to bring life. You saw a lot of authority happening this morning. People being released, people releasing, people bringing life. And so I encourage you to come through those two weekends. And you're welcome to take anything. Anything that there's a brochure on back there is open for you to take as an individual class. I'd appreciate your prayer for, I've got four full-time students coming. We've got a gal coming from Minnesota, a guy coming from Wyoming, a guy coming from just south of here, Mount Vernon, a gal coming from Seattle. And so those four for sure, appreciate you praying for our full-time students, that God has an encounter with them. And enough of the announcements now on School of Eagles, okay? Your responsibility, follow that out if you want to veil any of that. Had a blessed time last weekend in British Columbia. I was up in the Kootenays, and our faithful Debbie O'Conn trucked all the way over there, and she was in almost every meeting. She was in every scheduled meeting. We had a prompt to non-scheduled meeting on Sunday night with a couple hours notice. They asked me to come to another town. They said, we'll have about 15 people. I said, sure, I'll come. So I came, and we had 25 people. And it was great. And I just got an email invite the next month to go up to Nelson, B.C. The British Columbia folks are hungry. And God is doing great things in a place that you have to decide to go if you want to go there. God loves places that you have to decide to go. Did you hear what I said? He loves places you have to decide to go. He doesn't necessarily like convenient places all the time. He likes it when you decide you have to go there. And so he loves showing up in small gatherings. He loves showing up in obscure places. Ha! He just loves showing up. Ambush. Ambush. Okay. All right. So now let's get into today's here before I get ambushed anymore. All right. Okay. Now I want you to understand you are part of something great. You're part of something great on planet Earth, but you're part of something great here. If you came at the end of the day, you get the same wage as those who came at the beginning of the day. God is doing a great thing. We don't care about man's will. We care about God's will. What is God doing in the earth? Now, don't be distracted in this season by the news of men or the news of nations or the news of darkness. Be attracted by the news of heaven. Now this, it's called a tuning fork. Okay, this tuning fork has a specific note that it sends out. This particular tuning fork is a tuning fork of abundant life. Now, Pastor Jonathan's been the pastor here, lead pastor since April. And this is a very special instrument. This was given to me just as the sound was given to me. And I believe today I'm going to release prophetically. I realize it's a little late. Please be gracious to me and give me at least 30 minutes here to release this. But there's a sound. And so, first of all, I'm giving this to Pastor, that this is the sound of abundant life. And only God knows that note. Pastor Jonathan doesn't know it. Danny doesn't know it. Only God knows that note. You don't know it. God knows that note. He knows what letter he wants to write. He knows what letter he's writing in your life. He knows the sound of heaven. You don't know the sound of heaven, but he knows the sound of heaven. And he wants you to catch the sound of heaven. He wants you to link in with the sound of heaven. He wants his kingdom to come, ha, and his will to be done in your life exactly as it is in heaven right now. Now, before I release this word today, this is a prophetic word to the body of Christ, and this is your specific version of the prophetic word to you. I got to tell you, this word is to the body of Christ, and I will be releasing this word to the body of Christ prophetically throughout this season. And I'm releasing this word to you today because we have a very special connection. So it's especially for you. Especially special for you. Okay? So now, before you get this word, I'm going to give you three things that were given to me last year, entrusted to me apostolically. In other words, apostolic means sent one. God doesn't care about the nouns. He doesn't give too much about apostles. He doesn't really give a flip about apostles, but he's really turned on by apostolic people, people who are sent. He's really turned on by people who are sent for purpose and sent for destiny, ha, released for greatness. Yeah? And so, three things that you've got to get. These are three treasures that are increasingly being given to me and to my children, my children's children. So you ready? You've heard these, but I'm reminding of you. Three shifts in your paradigm thinking that you must receive to be able to receive what God is releasing prophetically into the earth. Now, if I sound weird and crazy to you, it's because I am weird and crazy. Get over it. Just receive it. Don't listen to this like a pastoral message. I am not a pastor today. Okay? I'm not trying to give you the secrets of the teaching clues. That'll all happen later. I'm trying to ignite a fire and a little mystery, yeah? Okay, so the first thing, first paradigm shift you've got to receive to be able to receive what God wants to release prophetically, God speaks, life happens, is God is good and he loves you. Okay, what does that look like practically? We sang a song this morning that was a nice new song, but it has a little bit of words that need to be tweaked. I'm going to release to you a sound that is not being sung. That creates a problem for us. That means we have to tap in and find out, how do we discover that? Maybe something new will be birthed here that needs to be propagated to the body of Christ. Okay? So the sound sounds like this. It doesn't sound like, I have cancer and I need healing, which is true. It's, God is really good and He loves me. Okay? No condemnation for any. We haven't said anything that's wrong today. We haven't done anything that's wrong. I'm just trying to tweak our focus just a touch. Okay? So don't get tweaked out of what I just said. Get offended over what I just said and say, well, don't miss what God's wanting to give you. Okay? You got to know that this is all about how good God is and how much He loves you. This is going to be an unbelievable year for us, people. This is going to be an unbelievable year. You ready to be ambushed? This is going to be an unbelievable year for you. Yeah? Come, Peter, this is going to be an unbelievable year for you. Where are you at, Peter? Where are you at? Where is that? Huh? Okay, fair enough. You can convey this message. For Peter, this is going to be an unbelievable year because God really loves Peter and God's really good. God's really good and He loves Peter. Ha ha! God's really good and He loves Yvonne. Whoa! God is really good and He loves people. You are not a people who need a Savior. You're a people who already have a Savior. You're not a people who are in trouble. You're a people who are blessed. God is able to take even what the enemy intends for evil and turn it for good, because the center of your world is this. God is really good and He loves people. It's not my marriage is in trouble and I need a Savior. No, the center of your marriage is God is really good and He loves you. It's not the planet is in really trouble and we need a salvation. No, the center of the planet is God is really good and He loves people. You've got to get this paradigm shift or you won't be able to receive the word that God wants to activate in your spirit for this season. Yeah? Let me give you the word and we'll keep giving you the word. Here is the word. It's limitless. Limitless. God is able to do exceedingly above and beyond all that you can ask or think. Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to think. But let the foundation of your asking and the foundation of your thinking be centered around this core. God is really good and He loves me. God is really good and He loves people. America is not in such a financial trouble that it needs a bailout. It needs to get intimate with the one who's really good and loves them. Our hope is not found in politics. Our hope is not found in transitions of governments. Our hope is found in Christ and Christ alone. God is really good and He loves us. Now we need to be the people that cast a shadow, that raises the dead. We need to be a people, that casts a shadow, that heals the sick. We need to be the people who have an ambience, an atmosphere, a focus, that we know God is really good and He loves people. Yeah? Okay? So that paradigm shift, you got to quit saying, oh God, please save me. And you got to say, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, you're really good. And you love people, okay? Second paradigm shift that you got to have, okay? This is the paradigm. You won't be able to receive this limitless without this. Love is a revelation, not a command. Love is a revelation, not a command. The command, love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself, is a command that the law and the prophets rest upon. God has freed you from the bondage of law and prophets. He's freed you from the limitations of good and evil. He's freed you from the limitations of conscience and law. And He's brought you into the liberty of revelation. And that is this. God says, you must love one another even as I have loved you, that you love one another. It's a revelation, not a command. Even as I have loved you, It's a revelation. Love is a revelation. You won't be able to go limitless if you focus on a command. It is good. You won't be able to go limitless unless you understand love is a revelation. Oh, God, reveal to me how much you love us today. Open the eyes of our hearts to see your love. Love is a revelation. I want to tell you that when you are ambushed by a revelation, you will be empowered way beyond the limits of a command. Don't have an attitude toward those who don't love God that they must love God. Stop it. Have an attitude that you are on your block of your neighborhood to open up the windows of heaven, to open up an atmosphere, to crack open a breeze in heaven, to declare a revelation of God's love, that God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that God reconciled us while we were yet sinners. So what are the statements that you won't be able to go limitless unless you have these? Why? Because love is a revelation. You see, forgiveness leads to repentance. Repentance doesn't lead to forgiveness. Forgiveness leads to repentance. Repentance doesn't lead to forgiveness. If you're trying to get repent so you get forgiveness, stop it. If you are preaching, repent so you can be forgiven, shut up. You got nothing to say. God forgave you before you repented. That's what empowered you to receive the gift. By the way, repentance is not something you do. It's a gift. It's a change you want to. You always do what you want to do anyway. Come on, you're like me. You suck at doing what you're told. But you're fantastic at doing what you want to. I love it. God loves it. He wants to change your want to. He wants to give you a passion. You're the most passionate creatures in the universes. Angels get gobsmacked at you. It's a good English word. Okay, so unless you get that paradigm shift, okay, secret things belong to God, but when they're revealed, they belong to us and to our children's children. I'm inviting you as children and children's children, receive this paradigm shift in your thinking. God is good and he loves me. That's how I know I can go limitless. Don't put limits on how he's going to do that. Well, God, if you're good, you will. No, God, you are really good. I can't even possibly imagine how you're going to do this, but let me try. I can't even possibly think, but let me ask. Love is a revelation. You can't possibly fathom what that is, but try. It's not a command, it's a revelation. Okay, the third shift, very important. You are not wrestling with God. God is wrestling with you. And the reason is, he knows who you really are. He wants you to manifest for who you really are. He's transforming a Jacob generation, oh God, bless me, to become an Israel generation that knows they are inheritors, princes and princesses with God. God is wrestling with you, and you think it's a man. God is wrestling with you, and you think it's yourself. God is wrestling with you, and you think it's your job. God is wrestling with you, and you think it's your circumstance. But God is wrestling with you. Why? He knows who you really are, and he wants you to manifest. He wants you to show up for your life. He wants you to be a prince, a princess, an inheritor of God. If you don't get this, you won't be able to go limitless. You got to stop wrestling with God, and you got to recognize God's the one wrestling with you. Okay? You aren't seeking the blessings of God. God's seeking to reveal you as the blessing. You aren't seeking the blessings of God. God is seeking to reveal you as the blessing. I'll say it again. You aren't seeking the blessings of God. God is seeking to reveal you as the blessing. You're not seeking the blessings of God. God is seeking to reveal you as the blessing. You're not seeking the answers. God is seeking to show you are the answer. Yes. Yes. By the way, if you think hearing God is knowing what to do, you need to take hearing God's voice. Now, there's a statement your pastor's been saying, and I'm going to grab this one. It's essential. Knowing Father and who you are in relationship with Him is everything. That's the ambiance of this house, folks, this in this season. Knowing Father, not this the Father, but knowing Father and who you are in relationship with Him is everything. When that happens, you'll discover who you are in Christ. And here's what happens when you discover who you are in Christ. The future is limitless. Limitless. The possibilities are limitless. The testimonies are limitless. Do you think, see, I get so tired of people who try to exalt the sovereignty of God. I depend on the intimacy of God more than I depend on the sovereignty of God. Because I've found that God chooses not to be sovereign as often as possible. Because sovereignty is not what makes Him God. That's Greek thinking, folks. I'm sorry. And when I happen to believe this, you can believe whatever you want, but I happen to believe that when He says He knew everything about you, I believe that's a term of endearment, not a term of control. When He knows every thought, everything you're going to do, I don't think He actually knows everything you're going to do. It's a term of endearment. He's that close to you. He knows you better than you know you. He's a little quantum in His abilities, by the way. So He doesn't have anything that's by surprise. But He's not... You know, not everything in life is good. There's an awful lot of stuff that sucks. Yeah? Okay. There's a lot of stuff that God didn't do. There's a lot of stuff that God didn't want to happen. And if you depend on His sovereignty, then you got to come up with some really crummy theology. You got to come up with some, I'd use a different word, but you got to come up with some theology that says that God knew that bad thing was going to happen. No, God knew that He'd work anything out for you in spite of what happens. He just assumed you didn't do that there. And He sure didn't want you to step in it when you did it there. But He's willing to stick with you in spite of how you smell after you did it and have you stepped into it, all right? And He can work out everything. Work out everything. He can work it out. We can work it out. We can work it out. Yes, I remember that song. Okay? So limitless. Now, you got to understand the testimonies are limitless. In other words, God has created something in this deal that it can even be better. What happens if your dream gets destroyed? Did you know that the one who dreams, the author of dreams, is intimate with you? You know, what happens when you screw up the original dream? And you force him to think again? I mean, you screw up the original and he's got to think again. Can that be half bad? If the one who loves you, if the one who is awesome is inspired, is stirred, is challenged to have to be a little creative. You know, it ain't a bad thing. Now, he's not giving you license to just go screw everything up. Yeah? But you got to know it's limitless. The testimonies are limitless. The possibilities are limitless. The way it's going to turn out is limitless. I like this. You know, from glory to glory, He's changing us. We used to have a veil. 2 Corinthians said when we come to the Lord, the veil is removed and we're being changed and we're beholding as in a mirror. Who do you see in the mirror? Yourself. So where do you see the glory of God? In you. Okay, look in the Bible. Let's turn to a scripture. In Ephesians 3 And we're going to read verses 14 through 20, this word of limitless. Here's a secret. And, of course, Ephesians, he's talking about the fact that whether we were Jews or Gentiles, we have fellowship with God. God is building this body. We have authority in heaven. It's a wonderful thing. We're rooted in this place of relationship. And there's no difference between Jews and Gentiles. Those were far or near. Those were near or near. And we got this relationship with God. So therefore, for this reason, in verse 14, I bow my knees before the Father, knowing Father, and who you are in relationship with Him is everything. Yeah? Knowing Father and who you are in relationship with Him is everything. Therefore, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name, derives its character, derives its nature, derives its way, derives its power, derives its authority. I just painted a picture of what name means. Okay? That He would grant you, love that word, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, according to the riches of the weight of His influence, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded, what? In love. You being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Whoa, this is a prayer. This is a prayer, people. I got to say it again. Do you catch this? For this reason, come on, we've been brought near. Nobody needs to be far away anymore. Jew, Gentile, get over it. Come on. Tongue, tribe, people, nation, come on. Just come on. If you don't know what the first few chapters, it says something like this. Come on. Okay? So for this reason, come on, move forward. Hey, move forward. Come on, move forward. You get it? Move forward. Come on. Move forward for this reason. I bow my knees. You bow your knees, do you? I bow my knees. I bow my knees to the Father of abundant life. I bow my knees to the Father of the Hanson House. I bow my knees to the Father of every family that's named in heaven and on earth. Everyone that gives us our name. You don't know what your name is, but He does. Your name has certain things about it. Ooh, things happen with the ambiance, the atmosphere, the influence of your name. Your name. Your name is not what you do. What you do is directly related to your name. But until you know what your name is, it's hard to figure out what you should be doing. If your name was wet, people would get wet when you came around. If your name was fire, people would get hot when you come around. If your name was joy, people would get happy when you show up. I don't know what your name is, but you got a name. It's an ambiance, an influence, an activation. Wah! It's not what you do. A lot of nameless people. A lot of people name religion. Ugh, I hate religion. Religion says die. God really wanted to say really, 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 really live. But since you were living a limitless life, you had to die to get the limitless living. I mean, you were living a limited life. See, religion says die. We interpret this. You got to decrease, so He'll increase. You don't only got to decrease. He just got to increase. You will automatically decrease, but then you will really increase in Him. You are not chopped liver. You got a liver, but you're not chopped liver. You're good stuff. You got a name. Okay? That he grant to you according to the riches of his glory, the riches of the weight of his influence. He's rich. He's rich. He's rich. My daughter, when she was little, she had lots of money. She was filthy rich. That's what she said. She said to an animal, she was filthy rich. The weight of the influence. He's got the weight of the influence of heaven behind him. He's got the weight of the influence of healing with him. He's got the weight of the influence of resurrection from the dead with him. He's got the weight of the influence of prosperity with him. The weight of the influence of expectation. The weight of the influence of hope. The weight of the influence of dreams. The weight of the influence of vision. Ha! The weight of the influence of refreshing. The weight of the influence of laughter. The weight of the influence of, he's just got the weight of the influence of life. See, God speaks, life happens. And it's all because of he loves us. Okay? Being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be able to be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do. He is able to do. You have the one who is able to do. 2012 is not limited because you have the one who is able to do all things. He is able to do anything. He is able to do whatever is necessary. You got to understand, this is the prophetic word for 2012. Not everything in 2012 is going to be nice. Not everything in 2012 is going to be easy. But everything in 2012 can be ambushed by God. Yes. Did you hear what I said? Yes. I said, not everything in 2012 is going to be nice. Not everything in 2012 is going to be easy. But you have the ability for everything in 2012 to be ambushed by the one who's able to do anything. Who's able to do everything. Who loves you. Ha! Who loves you. Who loves you. Who loves you. And you can't even comprehend how wide, how high, how deep, how long that goes. Why? It's limitless. He's able to do far abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. According to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. That's a long time. The forever and everything, that's a good thing. Forever and ever, amen. Huh? Man, what a powerful prayer that Paul prayed here 2,000 years ago. And there's been a whole lot of weapons formed against that prayer in the last 2,000 years, and none of those weapons formed against that prayer have succeeded. And here we are in 2012. What's God going to do this year? He can do anything. He can do everything. It's limitless. How do I know? He loves me, and he's really good. How do I know? I got a revelation, an increasing revelation of his love. How do I know? He's wrestling with me. He knows who I really am. He's drawing out of me who I am. He's drawing out of you who you are. It's limitless, 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 I'm telling you. Yeah. All right, one other scripture. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll go to verse 15. It's important that you hear this now, because it's a secret to knowing who you are. And again, it starts out like this. Ephesians, Paul is talking about how you're blessed with every spiritual blessing from your Father in heaven. He's talking about how awesome God is. Jesus has made a way for us to come into this spiritual reality of life. And then he says, verse 15 of chapter 1. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, I don't stop giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, the Father of all weight and influence, the weight and the influence of healing, the weight and the influence of miracles, the weight and the influence of direction, the weight and the influence of compassion, the weight and the influence of mercy, the weight and the influence of all manner of grace, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom, A spirit of wisdom. You want a spirit of wisdom? How many of you want a spirit of wisdom? That means you won't have a clue what you're doing. But you'll be compelled to do it. That means it ain't earthly wisdom. You know, my generation had a saying. It was a lie. They said experience is the best teacher. That is an absolute crock. Experience is not, it's a good teacher. It's not the best teacher. Because it'll get you to get what you've always gotten. Or what others hope to get. But the wisdom from above is based on things you've never seen, heard, or thought before. Hello, God says, hey, I'd like to take you someplace you've never been. Yeah? Hey, I'd like to show you some things you've never seen. I'd like to talk to you about some stuff you've never heard. You know, I'd like you to think in a way you've never thought before. This is really cool. You're not going to know what you're doing. Come on, let's go forward. Okay. I want to tell you that there's a greater security in the place of not knowing than there is in the place of knowing. I should say that again. There's a greater security in the place of not knowing than there is in the place of knowing. And God's calling you into that secure place. Okay? Now listen to this. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I'm praying that. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, not your calling. I don't give a flip about your calling. You see, if you're still focusing on your calling, you don't know who you are, grasshopper. I want you to know the hope of His calling. I'm praying the eyes of your heart will know the hope of His calling. Pastor calls it your favorite place. Where's your favorite place? Your favorite place is the place that induces others to dance. Your favorite place is the place that induces the earth to come alive. Your favorite place is not necessarily what you want to do, because you might not even want to do it yet, because it's got to do with beyond limits. You might not even know you like it. You know, listen to me. I got an art scholarship when I was in high school. They gave me an art scholarship. I never used my art scholarship. And for years after I graduated from high school, if you went to my high school, in addition to my very bad reputation, you would find also that they remembered my paintings and my art. And in all the offices, the principal's office, there was a painting that I painted, an oil painting, and there were drawings. I haven't touched paint, I haven't touched pencil in like 4 decades. Yeah? And you say, oh my goodness, he's wasted a talent. Well, let me tell you, what kind of painting I did is this. We'd go out and do the landscape. And we'd be painting the landscape, a little river, nice little hill with colored autumn leaves. Everybody's painting their paintings. And they come up to my painting. You know what I'm painting? I'm painting the crinkled up M&M wrapper on the ground with the M&M, with the ants on it. I got an M&M wrapper with ants on it. And my art teacher loved it, but you know what? See, the real grace on my life was not oil paints. It wasn't pencil drawings. It was, I see what others don't see. I've been doing that for 4 decades. I still do that. I'm doing that more now than I was with oil paint and pencil. I just see what others don't see. You see, but if I would have limited my future to art, I would never be walking into the limitless things that God has for me. You realize I never asked to go to the nations, guys. I never once, when I was a little kid, I didn't dream about going to the nations. I didn't want to go to the nations. I flew 200,000 miles last year and pretty close to 200,000 miles the year before, and I've been going to the nations since 1992. I never asked to go. But you see, God's thoughts, the hope of His calling, requires me to go. And I find that there's a grace to go. If I had a choice, where would I rather be? Here. I'd rather be here. I got grandbabies here. I'd rather be here. I got you. But I'm greatly blessed and favored when I go, because it's a favored place. It causes the earth to dance. It causes people to come alive. So it's the hope of His calling. I know I'm out of time, but you only gave me 30 minutes, so you got to be gracious to me here. It's the hope of His calling One of the riches, I'm praying that the eyes of your heart, I'm praying, just like Paul, I'm praying, that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened, that you'll know the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Not yours. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. There's something about you that's his inheritance. The weight of the influence of you, the glory of his inheritance. The weight of the influence of you magnifies who he is. I'm praying for that. This is the favorite place. It's limitless. Whoa, this is limitless. The eyes of your heart being opened, you'll know the hope of his calling, the riches of his inheritance in the saint that surpasses. And what is the surpassing greatness? Surpassing greatness. How much greatness is that? It's like too much. It's limitless, limitless greatness. The surpassing greatness, the limitless greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. How many of you believe Jesus had a destiny as a man? Was his destiny limited or limitless? Did they kill him? Technically they didn't, but did he die? Did he willingly die? Was he dead? Was he deader than a doornail? He was. He was dead. According to the natural, was there any? Was he limited? He had hit the ultimate peak. Finito. Dono. Which is the Greek for no more. Okay? I'm trying to paint a picture that you see, he understood the hope of his calling. He understood the riches of his inheritance toward his father, that there was nothing. The grave couldn't hold him because his future was limitless. He had a purpose. His purpose demanded the grave give him up. His purpose was to be intimate in your life. His purpose was to reveal you as a son and a daughter of the Father. He had a purpose. Do you understand? You have a purpose. You have a purpose. You were born for such a time as this. You were born for such a planet as this. You were born for such a day as this. Oh, it's going to be great when you go to heaven, but please don't be in a hurry. Be like Paul. To me, to go is better, but to stay is better for you. Did you hear that? Me to go is best for me, but to stay is better for you. I'm not saying there's no exceptions. No exceptions on this. To stay is better for us. So, in any case, all things transition to glory. But to stay, and I'm not just talking about your life length, I'm talking about to stay is better for others. Because you don't know who you are. You have a purpose. You see, there's a hope of his calling, the riches of his inheritance. Move forward. He's with you. Okay? So now, look at this. The riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints, what's the surpassing greatness, the limitless greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand, at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule. Far above all authority, far above all power, far above all dominion, far above every name that is named, not only in the day of Paul, but in this present moment and every moment to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet. Under his feet, not his neck, his feet. And gave him to be head over all things to the church. That's you. Which is his body, the fullness of him, the fullness of him, the fullness of him, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Do you understand? We're the fullness of him when we figure out what part of him we are. And it's limitless. It's limitless. All right. Okay, a couple quick statements. You can't live your life emotionally or circumstantially. In 2012, if you live your life emotionally or circumstantially, now God wants you, whoa, your emotions? Limitless, guys.
Come on, that's true. Yeah.
Hey, transparency, vulnerability, limitless. You heard it today.
Yeah.
Increasing. It's limitless. But you can't live your life emotionally or circumstantially. If you do, you're going to die in the wilderness. You're going to die in what is meant to be left behind you. You're going to die in what is meant to be left behind you. God wants you to move forward. Huge word for 2012. God wants you to move forward. But moving forward is limitless. You will not be a moment in 2012 where you can say, I did it. Did you hear what I said? There won't be a moment in 2012 when you can say, I did it. I moved forward. Because it's limitless. It's all about purpose, guys. Noble plans. Now, Jonathan, there's a grace coming on you that even as you have this tuning fork, you and Danny, there's a grace that is coming on the two of you that is a limitless grace. It's limitless grace. And you, there's a fresh focus in your vision that's going to come. And that fresh focus in your vision is oh boy, it's a little twist. It's a little tweak. You've got a grace on your life like that twisting anointing that takes things that have been set steadfast, puts a sharp edge on them, and makes it revolutionary. We all know that word about that fastener anointing, that twisting anointing that puts the cutting edge on people. They find their place where they become more than useful. But there's even a twist that's coming on the two of you of your focus. Because the twist is not going to come upon what you look at that you see must be twisted. It's what comes from heaven that brings the twist. It's what comes on the focus of not looking at this isn't working, how can we do this? Not looking at this is missing, how can we get it full? Not looking at, don't look at what you're lacking, because God says you're not lacking a single thing. Look at the things that are being rolled into your spirit, that are being rolled into this time. The things that God is beginning to give to you in your dreams and in your sight and in your vision. And know that God is going to flesh it out. It's going to be there because you see it. Whatever you see is going to be there. And then God is going to show you that what you see is not only going to be there supernaturally from what is yet to be, but it's going to be there supernaturally from what presently is. And there's going to come that twist. But the twisting anointing doesn't come from earthly things that need to be twisted. It comes from heavenly graces that twist earthly things. And so this mantle is coming on you even stronger, and that grace is coming on you even stronger to see that twist, to see that heavenly grace come in, and there's not going to be a lack of anything. And God says He's very, very pleased with the things that are coming into family in this house, that there's an anointing that's coming into this house for children. There's an anointing that's coming into this house for teenagers. There's an anointing that's coming into this house for young adults and for married couples and for singles, young and old. There's an anointing coming into this house for all, for grandparents. There's an anointing that's coming into this house for all the dynamic that you find in family. Well, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. The anointing is in this house for all of the dynamic that you find in family. So everything that you do, everything that's coming to you, whether it's children or teenagers or young adults or older adults, a single young, single old, married young, married old, the things that are coming into this house are not about those age groups, but they're about the dynamics of family. There's a huge grace that's coming upon this body in the dynamics of family. And in that, there's going to be great value that comes from the family of God. And this is going to be such a family place. And even that that comes in the nurturing aspect and the healing are going to be a nurturing and a healing with a family grace. There's going to be a family grace for miracles, a family grace for expectation. And they're going to move forward not just as a body that goes forth as a weapon, but you're going to move forth as a body of life. And that's the most powerful weapon because it's a body that's loved. Huh? It's a body that's loved. Huh? It's a body that's loved. And there's nothing more powerful than a body that's loved. There's nothing more powerful than people who are loved. There's nothing more powerful than the weapon of love. And so as you move forward in 2012, limitless things are going to come to pass because of the power of love, because of the power of family, because of the power of Father, Father, Father. And that Abba, Father grace is going to come and going to move you forward into the place. And it's not about knowing what to do, for there are many times you're going to find yourself in a place when you don't know what to do, but it's about knowing Him, and it's about coming to know you. And it's about knowing Him and coming to know one another. And there's going to be increased grace in this house, in this family. There's going to be an increased grace in transparency, an increased grace in vulnerability. And with that, it's going to come an elevation of honor. And there's going to come a flow, a healing flow. And many people will be attracted to this place. Many people will be attracted to this place. Many people will come. Okay, one last scripture I'm going to give you. In Isaiah 40, 27 through 30, it says this. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my ways are hidden from the Lord, and the justice that do me escapes the notice of my God? Why do you say God is not looking? He doesn't care. If He cared, He would. Don't you know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the limitless God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't become weary and tired. His understanding is inscrutable. It can't even be thought of. It can't even be figured out. He gives strength to the weary. To him who lacks might, He increases power. Use. They grow weary, and they get tired, and even vigorous young men stumble badly. Yet those who wait upon the Lord will gain or renew. They'll gain new strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run. They'll not get tired. They'll walk. And they'll not become weary. This is a season where you're going to know what it means to wait upon the Lord. To wait upon the Lord. To get a face-to-face. To get intertwined with. To see Him like you've never seen Him before. Whoa, limitless. To understand Him like you've never understood Him before. To know how good and how loving He is. Oh, to see the limitless grace of who He is. And in this time, you're going to move forward. For it's a limitless season. And it's not about you finding your favorite place. As much as it is about you finally manifesting the favor of God. I pray, let the eyes of your heart be open, that you'll know the hope of His calling and the fact that you are in there and the riches of His inheritance, the influence of who He is in your name. May grace be multiplied to you. May peace be multiplied to you in Jesus' name.
Amen. It's good. Good. I know we kept you a little long, but God did a lot of good things today. And that don't let this be done. I would very strongly suggest that you listen to this again, because this is really, really, really good. This is a shift, as Jim even said. And as Luke said this morning, he prayed that the chains, you're acting like your chains are still on there. They're not on there anymore. It's limitless where you want to go. So, Father, we just thank you, God. You are such a good Father. We just thank you for what you're doing, God. And, God, let us experience your love this week. Even as my dad was standing up here this morning, God, experiencing your love in moments of brief, he has to stop you from showing up a little bit because it's just too much. God, let that be all week long. Let us have that all week long. God, I'm calling out for that. Even in my own life right now, I call out for that this week. Call out for alone time with you. Alone time with you, Father, where I can't help but experience your love. Because that's what changes us. It breaks everything we want and everything we need. We think it's all from another source, but the only source that needs to come from is from you. So we call on that this week, God. We throw away all our problems and all our struggles, and we say, God, we just need your love. And we wait right here. We wait in this alone time with you, and we wait for it. And Father, we just thank you for that. You're going to do that this week. We thank you, God, already for the times we get to spend with you. I love spending daddy time. Thank you, Father. Amen.